Second hour of game time here on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course that glorious 1620 The Zone mobile app. 24 hours from now, mailbag. Get your questions for me to George at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious, silly, doesn't matter. Best email question is going to win gift certificate to Oscars, wings, pizza, all that good stuff. You talk about something that would be nice to have to get ready to watch NCAA tournament games. You might get invited to that watch party that you haven't been getting invited to. You'd be like, hey, man, can I come? Eh, hey, I got an Oscars gift card. Yeah, you can come. That's pretty much how it could be, all right? That's how it could be. 1 hour from now, Robin Walsh is going to stop by. So usually, there are some people that kind of poo-poo the NIT. And I get it. You know, I mean, it is the secondary postseason tournament. I'm right there with you for the most part. But that doesn't mean that it's not super important for some of the teams involved. Now, it depends on your team. For instance, I don't think this NIT situation is all that important for Nebraska. They're likely going to have a new head coach next year. So it'll be a new system. It'll be a new everything. It's likely going to be a new chapter in Nebraska basketball book. So this NIT situation isn't overly important, in my opinion, for Nebraska. Last year's was more important, right? Like, you had an entire core group that was coming back. Like, last year's NIT was important. This year, especially when you look at it, the majority of the dudes in the rotation are going to be gone, right? Like, Glenn Watson, senior, Palmer, senior, Tanner Borkow, Johnny Trueblood, gone. Like, who knows what Roby will do? So, I don't want to sit here and be like, Nebraska, whatever. I mean, but at the same time, if Nebraska goes and loses tomorrow, like, okay. But I do think the NIT is huge and a great opportunity for Creighton. In a lot of ways, the NIT is kind of made for a team like Creighton. Young team, young core, going to return everyone in their core. They had growing pains all year, stubbing their toe, closing out games, but clearly an extremely dangerous and capable team. I mean, you would think you could chalk up any shortcomings to this team to either injuries or youth. And so with the NIT, you want to get some postseason experience, you want to gain some momentum, and you want to keep it rolling into next year. In a lot of different ways, the next 2 weeks for Creighton can set up the next year for Creighton. Now, I don't want to overstate it, but this feels like a pretty important stretch for Creighton. Again, pretty much everyone is back. Martin Krumpel, Tyshawn Alexander, Mitch Balick, Davion Mintz, Marcus Zagorowski, Christian Bishop, Samson Froehling. Dudes like Epperson will be back off of the injury. Like, this whole core returns. They need to get it rolling. I think Creighton's a team that is good enough to win the NIT. I think they are absolutely good enough to go to the Final Four of the NIT and maybe win the thing. They're going to get two straight home games to start. And then they would potentially either have to go to TCU to go to the Final Four of the NIT. They would potentially, maybe it'd have to be Nebraska. But it's not a bad path at all. And this team needs to take advantage of this opportunity. And so not only are you looking for wins with this team, but I want to see this team continue to take strides defensively. We know what they are defensively. Creighton's never had issues on that end of the floor for the most part. Their issue and question is always like, can they get enough stops? What do things look like when they go to bat defensively? You know, like, They got better defensively as the season wore on, but they still have a ways to go. That needs to improve. They obviously need to close out games, right? I mean, late game execution has been not good. And they're likely going to be in some close games, whether it's tonight or whether it's maybe against Memphis or maybe it's against Nebraska or maybe it's against TCU, whatever. They're going to be in some close games. Got to get over the hump and close it out. I want to see over the next couple of weeks, I want to see Tyshawn Alexander and Mitch Ballack be more consistent in their shooting. Like, both were streaky guys this year. Very, like, I understand that their percentages are pretty good, but for two good shooters, I mean, they're both guys that could go 0 for 10 and then make their next eight straight shots. You know what I mean? Like, they need to find, like, there needs to be a little bit in the middle of that. I want to see their consistency increase. And then you want to see a guy like Marcus Zagorowski just continue to run the show. Like, he's the man, he's the guy, he's the dude. He may not be their leading scorer, but make no mistake about it, he absolutely is their MVP. And I want to see Zagorowski take another step here, springboard his way into a great offseason. Because that's what this could be. Whether it's as a group, building momentum and confidence into next year, or even individually. Again, I don't think Khyri Thomas is in the NBA right now without the little run he had in the NIT his freshman year. Remember, Khyri Thomas had basically been supplanted by James Milliken in the starting lineup and wasn't playing that much, but then here came the NIT, and Khyri Thomas played great. It gave him momentum into the offseason, and then Khyri Thomas never looked back, and now the guy plays for the Detroit Pistons. So building confidence and momentum as a group and for certain individuals, really important next year. It's a great opportunity for the Blue Jays. And again, I think their path is pretty good. Now, as far as the game tonight, I think Creighton's going to win this game. You got to remember, teams aren't used to seeing Creighton's pace and speed. I'm talking about non-con teams. Big East teams are. A team like Loyola hasn't seen anything like what they're going to see tonight. And Creighton is rested, and I think they're ready to run. So I think the first thing you'll see tonight is a team that looks like the November or December Creighton team transition-wise, getting a ton of easy shots in the open floor, easy points in transition. You got that. Creighton needs to run tonight. The second thing is making Cameron Krutwig, Loyola's big man, move defensively. He's kind of one of those like big, pudgier-looking big guys, but he is, I mean, I think he's really good. He can really score on the low block, but he's not overly fleet of foot, laterally, mobility-wise. You got to make that guy move on defense. He's a great player, not overly mobile. I think Creighton attacks that guy all night. Make him defend 3-4 ball screens in one possession, run him up and down the floor, you know, play Martin, bring in Christian Bishop, you know, like run that guy. And my guess is they'll double-team him in the post on the catch and because he's a great scorer down there. And I think Creighton's been pretty good at doubling and scrambling out of it. I think they do that. They're going to disrupt Loyola's flow when they want to play inside out. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Like, if it sounds like I'm poo-pooing Loyola, I'm not. I think this team actually was in getting ready for the Valley game that I had between Southern Illinois and Illinois State. Like, I was watching a bunch of Valley basketball, and I was like, God, Loyola's pretty good. I mean, they didn't live up to expectations this year after they went to the Final Four last year, but they're still a pretty good team now. Marquise Towns and Clayton Custer are good, experienced guards. Again, Krutwig, Towns, Custer, these guys went to the freaking Final Four last year. You think they're going to be afraid of Davion Mintz and Tyshawn Alexander and the CHI Health Center? No. They aren't going to be afraid of this situation at all. So Creighton's going to have their hands full with those two. And they got to be on point with Krutwig inside. And I think Creighton will do all that, and I think they're going to win. And then we'll, you know, then you see what happens moving forward. But it's a great opportunity for the Jays. I mean, it is like the next two weeks could shape the next couple of years. There's no doubt about it. 402-951-16. Turn on the scrub, Andrew. What's up, Andrew? Fire away. Appreciate you calling. Andrew? No Andrew. I'm excited. I'm excited for tomorrow night's game, Butler and Nebraska too. It's a lot of. I mean, it's probably a product because I've seen Butler 57,000 times this year. I mean, honestly, I bet in terms of seeing them live or watching them on film, I should like write down how many games I've watched. I'm not so sure I haven't watched all, but like maybe three or four of their games this year. Like, I know that team. Honestly, outside of Creighton and Nebraska, I would say Butler's the team that I know next best. And I know a lot of people want to put, like, I just think Butler's kind of a sneaky, tough matchup for Nebraska. I'll get more into that tomorrow. We got Andrew back. Andrew, we got him back. Andrew, you're back, baby. Go ahead.
Hey, no other way I would like to be.
Love it.
Hey, my question is, I've got a couple of them for you. Do you think as a team, Creighton, at this point, has underachieved or overachieved? And where do you see Sharif Mitchell next year in the scheme of things?
Andrew, appreciate the phone call. I mean, as far as underachieved, overachieved, what's hard about that is, like, there's expectations you set going in, and then there's what it looked like throughout that process. So I think this team is exactly – I'm not so sure that I said that they would win about 18 games and go to the NIT. Like, I think you can go check Blue Jay Banter's tape at the start of the year. I think I nailed their final record and – getting into the NIT. So in that way, you'd be like, oh, they're exactly what I thought they'd be. But it's hard to sit here and say, after watching this team play, how if every game this year in the Big East would have been 35 minutes long instead of 40 minutes long, Creighton would have been like 14-4 and won the conference. The amount of games Creighton was winning with after 34, 35 minutes was a ton of them. But they would just fold down the stretch. So, on one hand, they're exactly where I thought they'd be. So you'd say, oh, they've lived up to what my expectations were. But man, you get into the mix of it and you watch these games, there's a part of me that does kind of feel like, man, they might have underachieved a little bit. They might have underachieved a little bit when you think about how many games they were. How many games did you walk away from going, man, Creighton should have won that game? Like a bunch. To me, both Seton Hall games, the game at Xavier, the Marquette game here. I could argue the game at Villanova. Like, there were a bunch of games. You walked away going, man, Creighton should have won that game. Creighton should have won that game. So in that regard, you go, did they underachieve a little bit? Maybe a little bit. But again, it's hard because this is exactly where I was said they would be. And I said at the start of the year, this team going to the NIT would be a good year. And here they are, so I don't want to be a hypocrite either. But I think Creighton wins tonight. I do. I'll be on the call. Me and John Bishop. It'll be fun. I'll have to tell John to calm down about any missed calls with the officials. John, calm it down. John, calm down. You calm Easy. Down. Easy, John. Easy. All right, let's take a break. Again, Robin Washit. Just stop by 1 o'clock, door trip, 1:30, 402-951-1620. You can email me, nick@1620thezone.com. Hit me on Twitter, @NickBaugh. Game time.